The title for my sermonette today is Stepping into the Ring. So about 6 months ago, I did something that has changed my life. I took Sam, my son, oldest son, to his first jiu-jitsu class here in Ramona. And I sat there and I watched his class as he, started to take his first class. After that first class, there was an adult's class right after. And, the coach had seen me sitting there watching intently. I'd done karate when I was about 15, so I was, interested. I liked the sport of it. So anyways, he asked me, he's like, well, do you want to do a trial class? And I remember thinking to myself, well, this is a little bit embarrassing. I haven't done anything like this in so long. I am extremely out of shape. All I do is sit at a computer and work. And so I said, yes. So there I was in jeans and a t-shirt, doing the same stuff that everyone else was doing in the class. I remember feeling very awkward and stumbling through the warm-up drills, and these people had been doing this for a while, and they're used to the movements, they're used to warming up. Well, I made it through the warm-up, and we progressed through the class. And then at the very end of the class, we did another workout. And that's where I nearly died. See, I was in no shape at that point for what we were doing. There I was trying to catch my breath, heaving and just literally how I was breathing. Very heavy. But I pushed myself. I pushed myself through to the very end. It was extremely hard. And I remember after that class, I could not breathe. I couldn't catch enough oxygen for my body. And so I ended up laying outside on the concrete for about 30 minutes, watching as the world grew black and started to cave in on me, and wondering if this is what I was going to do to die. Well, I didn't die. I'm still here. So that is good. Every once in a while, the coach would pop out and be like, are you okay? You doing all right? And we're like, yeah, I just need to catch my breath. Well, everything finally started to calm down, relax. I was finally able to get enough oxygen to feel steady. And then I went in and I talked to him about, okay, I want to join your class. Now, got to be stupid, right, to think you're going to die and then go join a class. Well, never said I was the smartest one here. Now, I told you this story to be able to tell you this next story. Because I did another stupid thing 2 weeks before the feast. Now, this is about 4 months into training at Jiu-Jitsu. I went and I did my first tournament. Okay, why is this stupid? Well, we're leaving for the feast in 2 weeks, and there's a possibility of actually getting injured in one of these things. Well, anyways, long story short, I went in, and I didn't realize that if I had lost one more pound, I would have been in a lower weight class. No, I decided that I was going to just go ahead and not worry about any of that, and I was in the 220-pound plus weight class, also known as the ultra heavies. Now, if you've never competed in anything in your life, you won't know that feeling of stepping into the ring or stepping up to bat or making that game buzzer shot. It's this feeling of nervousness in your stomach that is just, it's like a giant fist in your stomach. 100%, I felt like I was at my first night of jiu-jitsu again. I feel like I was going to puke. Well, in my bracket, there was enough rounds for three rounds. So that's what we did, three rounds. And like that first day in class, I have to say, that moment was probably one of the hardest things, most intense things that I have done to date. You know, winning or losing in that moment really wasn't what it was about for me. In that moment, it was about giving everything that I had, giving it all. I won my first two rounds, and I lost my last round. You know, even if I had lost everything, those first two rounds, if I had lost those two, that experience is invaluable. And it's inevitable, too. You know, training in class and having your people around you, your teammates, is one thing. You're very careful with each other. You're not trying to hurt each other. You're trying to help each other to grow. But when you go and you put yourself in that type of a situation where you have to step into the ring and you have to face somebody else, that's where the truth comes out, because it's your skill versus someone else's skill. It's not gentle, it's real. It's hard. It's where your talents stack up against somebody else's. Now, what does that have to do with what we are here for? I think it's easy at times as a Christian to lose sight. It's easy to get swallowed up by the things that go on in our own heads. And we put a lot of pressure on ourselves, and rightly so. And it's pressure about who we should be, how we should be. What happens when we slip and we don't meet our expectations, when we fail? You know, it can cause us to lose hope and to stumble even more. You know, we are called as Christians to figure this out. God isn't going to make things automatically happen in our lives. He is looking to see what we do with what we have. Will we go through pain and suffering of overcoming and growing? Or will we do everything we can to avoid that? Or will we go through all the suffering and still not change? I'd like to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. First Corinthians 9, verse 24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run not with uncertainty, thus I fight not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. The training that I put in, the pain, the effort, the time, in a physical sense, it all means nothing in the end. Now, Paul here was extremely mindful of how he entered his ring, with what conviction he needed to fight. Notice that there is this nagging truth there, too, at the very end, where he says there is an actual possibility to become disqualified, even after preaching the truth, even after knowing what to do, telling other people how to do it. He still had to go through his own fight. It was a very personal one. And so it all depends on our state of mind. The biggest fight I think that we all face is no more than ourselves. It's not the world, it's not the things or those around us, it's not the economy, it's not our children, it's not our friends, it's simply us. The things that go on in our brain, what we allow, what we say to ourselves, who and what we think we are, all the routines that we have in place, the influences we allow others to have on our lives, the self-doubt, the discouragement, it's all there. And we've always said in the church that there's three things we face: Satan, society, and self. We don't have any real influence on the first two. Satan is always going to be there trying to trip us up, trying to get us to fail. Society is in line with Satan because he rules over society, so they're in the same exact vein. And we have to realize and acknowledge that these two things are very real, and they do have an impact on our lives. And so we have to know how to navigate, how to avoid and deflect and defend against those two. But self, though. Self, we are that self. We cannot escape that because it is in us. It is who we are. You know, as Christians, we have signed up to fight. But we can choose, even though we've signed up to do so, we can still choose not to. We can choose instead to be scared or despondent. We can be angry at God. We can find fault. But what do we do when we are getting into that ring for another round and they're greeting us as fear or self-doubt, anxiety, uncertainty? That's going to be there. It's going to be there for each and every one of us at some time in our lives. But that is where we're going to have to armor up. That's where we have to choose that we are going to step through and into that ring, and we're going to have to start swinging. The opportunity for each of us to do just this is there, and it's a lifelong fight. And we have to realize that if we're going to go into that ring, if we're going to fight, and we're going to spend any amount of time in there, we're going to get our butts kicked. That's just how it's going to be. We're going to win sometimes, but a lot of the time, we're going to lose. All the confidence, all the courage, all the strength, physical strength in the end, doesn't mean that much. And with all this said, there's a scripture that came to mind as I was preparing this. And it's one I've thought about for a while, on and off. And so if you will, turn to Genesis 32. Genesis 32 and beginning in verse 22. Genesis 32, 22. And he arose that night, took his two wives and his two female servants and his 11 sons, and crossed over the ford of Jacob. He took them and sent them over the brook and sent over what he had. And then Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until the break of day. Verse 25, and when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaks. But he said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. So he said to him, what is your name? He said, Jacob. And he said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed. And then Jacob asked, saying, tell me your name, I pray. And he said, why is it that you ask about my name? And he blessed him there. Jacob's character, his life, was hard. He went through a lot of very hard things in his life. And yet, he was full of tenacity and full of grit. Just from what I could find, and I'm not sure if this is completely true, a few commentaries said that it was possible that he was in his 90s when this happened. I don't know if that's true or not, but if that was true, a 9-year-old man wrestling all night. Even if he wasn't 90 years old and he was younger, I can tell you from wrestling for 5-minute rounds, I can't imagine wrestling all night long. If you read between the lines of Jacob's story, he spent a lot of time wrestling in his life with the problems and the issues that he had and some that he created. It says in the room he was wrestling with his brother, even grabbing his heel on the way out. With Laban, he had to wrestle with him in a sense for 22 years trying to obtain a wife. And he got two out of the equation. And then he had to wrestle with himself. He had to wrestle with his conscience, what he had done to his brother Esau. And then finally here, he wrestles with Christ. Jacob held on to God at this very end. He wouldn't let go until Christ blessed him. Even though his life was hard, even though he had been through so many things, this experience changed him, and he walked away, I think, a different man. And I think it's representative of what we all go through in life. We are each striving to understand who we are, how we fit into this picture that God has for us. And how we have to make things happen. And we all walk on our own paths, trying to figure out things on our own. You know, there is no cookie cutter mold for the life of a Christian. What works for one person will not and cannot work for another person. That's because we are each unique. We are all one of a kind. You know, God wanted Jacob to fulfill the role that he had for him. But God let Jacob wander. He let him suffer. He let him do his own things. He let him make his own choices. But in the end, God steps in. And Jacob realizes and sees that he needs God's blessing. You can think about that very moment. He's going to see his brother whom he had deceived. And it's possible that his brother could wipe him out. He could kill him, his family, and everything. And at that moment, he decides to not let God go until he is blessed. I think that's what God wanted all along for Jacob. But it took a lot of work for Jacob to get to this point in his life where he was ready for that moment. I don't know what God has in store for me, for my family. But I do know that I don't want to fight him. I want to figure out how to please him. And that takes stepping into the ring and dealing with life as it comes. It takes keeping God center and front, we'll go with that way, and making his things the most important things in my life. Brethren, God is waiting there for us to reach the point where we realize that everything we need, he can provide. That even the fights that we have, the struggles, stepping into the ring, we can actually put that in his hands. There is no other substitute for that. And there is no one that is going to push or show us that this is the way. It is strictly based on us, on how much we want God to be a part of who we are, how much we want him to lead in our lives. And I think that's what it means to be in the ring, to figure out just how to fight, because all of us have to fight.